Hey yo, what's up everybody? Welcome to the TJTV podcast, only on Spotify and Google Podcasts. How are you doing today? We have a great day coming ahead of us. It's actually Easter week too, and you know what? I'm not a big fan of Easter. I never really was a big fan of Easter because it just, I don't know, like as I got older, Easter wasn't fun anymore. I didn't really have a good time. I mean, yeah, I'm not saying like my Easters were bad. I mean, Easter was great. I loved it. Don't get me wrong. But the whole thing is, I don't know, when you get older, Easter just kind of doesn't feel correct anymore. I don't know. It's just my thought, honestly, my personal opinion. But hey, that's a different story for a different day. But anyways, today we have a fun interview. Will Wesley is coming on the show. He is an up-and-coming country singer. And you know what? I actually listened to his songs before he came on. And I have to say, this guy's really good, honestly. Like, I'm not a big fan of country. I never really was. And I'll let you in on a little story before he comes on. So my mother, she would always listen to country. And I mean, like, she listened to country 24/7. And it was always in the car. And it drove me nuts. Like, I remember hearing Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson, Charlie Daniels, Tim McGraw, Toby Keith. Even though Toby Keith, I do like Toby Keith and Eric Church now. But, yeah, so she would listen to country all the time, and it would drive me nuts. And I'm just, like, thinking to myself, like, this sucks. But, yeah, I just get annoyed when it's the same five songs over and over again. And we would take long trips, mind you. I mean, we're going to the mall? Okay. Country music. We're going to the store? Country music. It's not until I got older she started listening to, like, more, like, contemporary adult, like, she would listen to stuff from, like, the 70s and 80s, more pop and disco-like music. So, basically, that was my whole childhood, listening to country. Hank Williams. It was just, like I said, it was kind of depressing listening to my mom play the same music all the time. But actually, some of the music wasn't that bad, too. There were a couple songs I did enjoy. And, I mean, there's some country songs I like. There's some country songs I don't like. But I have to say, but Will Wesley's music, I have to say, I love it. I listen to all of them. And actually, fun fact about this too, before we get the interview started, I sent his music to my mom because I know my mom likes that style of country music. And she's like, who is this guy? And I was like, oh, he's coming on my show in a couple days. And she was like, really? I said, yeah. And she was like, I like this guy. I was like, well, guess what? He's going to be on the show. So free promotion, mom. She would actually enjoy this guy more, I feel like, if she listened. I don't know how many songs she listened to, but I did send the YouTube page. But yeah, that's a different story. All right, so here's the deal. I'm going to play a song, and then we're going to go right into the interview. And then, yeah, that will be it. All right, love you all to death. See you guys in a couple seconds.
So climb aboard. We'll search for tomorrow on every shore, and I'll try.
All right, I'm here with Will Wesley, up and coming country singer, has a new single out, Ready to Ride. How are you doing today?
Man, I'm doing great. I'm here in Baton Rouge. I'm off the road. I've been hanging out with my wife a little bit and promoting the new single out. Life couldn't get any better.
Hey, I hear that, man. I mean, that's one thing I actually do like being older. Like, you have a wife to come home to. I mean, I'm married too, obviously. And like, just coming home to her, and it makes life easier. I feel like, you know, growing up, you're with your mom or your dad or both parents, and it's just like they're telling you orders with your wife. It's just you and her hanging out.
Well, you know, TJ, when you do a lot of outlaw country music in your younger years, you wake up and you may not know the woman you're laying next to. So it's nice to actually have an identification and a name to the woman you're with every night. So once you put all that behind you, you know, once you settle down, you know, it's good to have a support system and a good wife to come home to. And it brings some stability to a rather unstable life.
Yeah, no, I mean, I even have friends who are just single, and I'm thinking to myself, like, how do you do it? Because, like, even like, the housing where I live, I pay, like, a lot of money in rent, and I'm just thinking, like, how do my friends afford to pay that? Because I can't even, like, it's hard out here, and they're just like, oh, yeah, I got a good job. I'm like, well, I mean, is it a 9-to-5? Like, you gotta be more specific.
Right. How are you coming about this money? Yeah.
I mean, even some friends, they have moved back home too, which I know a lot of kids have to nowadays because of certain, but that's a different story.
But it's definitely happening more and more everywhere we go. You know, it's just the way of the world these days.
Yeah. So you're a country singer, up and coming.
That's what they say. That's what they say. Yeah, I've definitely been in country music. Well, you know, honestly, I'm a student of all music. I try to be, you know, but country music's always been my home. It's where my heart's at. So, yeah, definitely been getting a lot of traction with people in country music as well. So it's been a pretty exciting journey thus far.
Now, who's your inspiration?
In country music, man, I don't want to sound cliche, but I have to go to the legend Hank Williams, man. I always admired Hank Williams. I admired his story. I admired, like, his story outside of music. You know, he lived the way he played, you know, and I was always inspired by that, you know, the songs he sang was the life he lived. And I've always tried to live my life by that module, you know, to try to be honest in my music and to try to, you know, the life that I live is the life that I tell, and hopefully other people can relate to it and understand it.
So Hank Williams, do you ever see him in concert?
Oh, no. Hank died in 1949. Maybe 51. 49 or 51. I know it was on New Year's night, though.
to be honest, I don't know Hank Williams. I know Hank Williams Jr.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I remember. I know he was touring a couple of years ago from what I saw.
Oh, yeah. Hank Jr. now, he's carried on his father's name very well, man. Very well. He's carrying the torch for country music, right? Well, I wouldn't say right now, but in the 70s and 80s, he was huge for that and inspired a generation, inspired me. So I'm a big fan of the whole Hank Williams. Hey, I even like Hank III, you know. So.
Now, Hank take his father's music and make it his own different way, or do you still have the same style as his music? I'm not a big country guy, but I know the names. So let's just put it that way.
Sure, sure. You know, like, I believe that one of the things I respect about Hank Jr. is that, from what I've read, he started out doing his father's music because that's what they wanted him to do. And then he kind of ventured off and started doing his own thing and kind of became part of the outlaw country movement, you know. So I do respect him for being his own artist and carrying his father's music further. You know what I mean? That's always been something that's inspired me, you know, to tell your own story and to be your own artist, even if you don't sound like everything coming out right now. Because, you know, with my music, you know, rock and roll is a big influence on my music. You know, I'm country, but I bring elements of blues and rock to that. So, you know, bringing in different elements is kind of what Hank Jr. did as well. And I respected him for that.
It's kind of like the same thing with the Beatles. Their kids were pretty much doing the same thing, bringing their parents' songs into the mix, but then using their own different style, you know, like John and John Lennon, those guys.
Oh, God, yes. You know, the Beatles, to me, if you listen to some of the early Beatles work, you know, to me, they were just listening to a lot of American blues artists and rock and roll, like early rock and roll, like even Chuck Berry, you know, they were listening to these people and taking the American blues, the American early rock and roll, and molding it into their sound until they got a sound all of their own. And then they came out and just, you know, invaded America with it. They, the very thing that inspired them from America, they came here and brought back to America, which I think is very interesting about the Beatles. And I am a fan of the Beatles. I think that they were they definitely were influential on music and took it to another level.
What's your opinion on their last song? The last song that was recorded. Or, well, I guess it was really Paul and Ringo, but like, what did you think of that last song?
I actually listened to it, and I'm gonna tell you what I thought about it. I think AI is getting very good out there. Did you see the music video?
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you, man. I thought it was a great song, but as I was told, or as I read somewhere, wasn't it a song that they had all written together but never released? Is that how that one went?
I thought it was John Lennon. The story I was told, John Lennon recorded it and he was going to make it something big. And then he died in 1980, of course, and he never got a chance to. But I was told it was just on a tape that he found, and Yoko gave it to Paul and said, "Hey, I think you, if you want to like work with this, see what you think."
Well, I know it's a very good song, man. I'm actually a fan of Now and Then. I think it's a very good it has the identifying Beatles sound, like it's very interesting to know that that's a John Lennon song that he had written in his solo career before death, because it really the way it really shows that as a songwriter of the Beatles, Now and Then, when I first heard it, sounded like it was really quintessential Beatles song to me. It sounded, and if you think about it would make sense. John writes it, Paul acquires it and brings it to the rest of the group. So, I mean, or what's remaining of the group. So to see that happen, it's really a trip back in nostalgia. I'm sure a lot of people who were alive when the Beatles were popular, which unfortunately I wasn't, but those people probably really got to take a walk down memory lane on that. And I actually appreciated the song, and the music video was kind of haunting, man. Like they used AI to bring John Lennon and Woody, the guitar player George Harrison back, and I thought that was just amazing,
Yeah, and you made a good point about that. AI is getting scary good, and I know singers who have passed away, they're bringing them back. Like AI is bringing, for example, Michael Jackson back to sing. And it's just getting weird, and I feel like that's going to be the same thing when it comes to radio as well. I mean, I work in radio. I get told every day it's a dying business, but I've read that some stations are using their voice, they have to sign a contract to use their voice for when they pass away as AI.
And that's a very interesting topic, TJ, because I know that there is a division of opinion about that. One opinion is how far is too far. Another opinion is, if you could hear the voice and bring back someone like John Lennon or something, how cool would that be? So I mean, there's really two different ways of looking at that in the modern world. And I got to promise you, 5 years ago, I wouldn't even think we would be having this discussion, but here we are in 2024 having it. It's amazing, and frankly, if I had my way, we could use AI to mimic my voice, and then hey, I might take a night off and just let the AI make some money for me.
Well, that's the thing too. AI is soup is scary, is very scary. It's super scary advanced. But we can go a long way with it, but I also have that fear of like this is going to be like iRobot all over again.
Yeah, it could be a prequel to the Terminator, couldn't it?
That
We got to shut down Skynet. But you do raise a very good question in that, man, because I mean, it's kind of like anything could be used, in my opinion, for good or for bad. It's all in who's in charge and who's using that, because I'm sure AI can do some wonderful things for humanity as a whole, but put in the wrong hands, what could it do to hurt people? And that's really the debate of how far is too far. Where how far do we want to go? How much of humanity do we want to replace with technology? That's the way I would view it. I mean, how do you see that?
Yeah, no, I think it could be good, but I mean, I divert back to apocalyptic movies like Leave the World Behind
The
when
Book of
that
Eli.
like did you ever see that movie Leave the World Behind? It came out on Netflix.
I heard about it, and I've actually wanted to watch it, and I have not seen it yet.
So I'll just say this, you might not like the ending. I wasn't a big fan. of the ending. But no, in one scene, this is a little spoiler, they had Teslas under their control, whoever was, whatever was going on, but like the Teslas were actually under whatever control, and they were crashing into other
Wow.
cars.
Wow, that's a interesting prediction, don't you think?
I mean, well, it's pretty weird. I think anybody, if they wanted to hack us, they could hack anything in just a flip of the switch. I mean,
Yeah. It can be done with the right mind, yeah, I have to agree with that. With the right mind and the right tools, yeah, it can be done.
I mean, that's just my prediction on that. But I also feel like we're not going to have AI in 10 years. I think we'll have holograms more.
I think that AI could be the stepping stone to even higher technology, just like every technology before us, I gotta be honest, I'm right down the middle in my own opinion on it. I don't know. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I know it can be used for good. I know it can be used for bad, but I tend to be more of a, I hate to say a traditionalist in the sense, but I believe that the blueprint of humanity to me is individuality in itself. So to be, I just don't want to, I don't want to see us as a whole lose our identity, to remain humanistic in what we do and everything we do, but I can see where AI can quickly replace certain things that we do humanistically. So it's definitely a interesting topic for debate. I'm not
I
against either opinion,
yeah I use this AI. So I saw this, I was thinking of like a dating game, and I did this last year for a show. It was called AI Dating Game, and
Yeah.
there were these it was stupid these AI teenagers or whatever they were, I don't even know how old they were, and I was just asking them questions, just seeing like what they would say. And I would even ask outrageous stuff, and they would respond with good answers. I was like,
Yeah.
what's your opinion on this president? Oh, I don't like him, he's a horrible person. What's your opinion on the government? Oh, I think they're scamming us. Oh, they're great for us. Like, it was just well answered questions.
Yeah, you can't tell the difference between the human and the robot, so to speak.
So I mean, I think AI is good and bad in the sense. It kind of reminds me, I'm going to go back to iRobot again, like when Will Smith had all these robots and they all just turned on us. It was just, I just see
Yeah.
that.
We definitely don't need the technology we create to turn against us. I can definitely agree with you on that, my man.
What year were you born, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, not at all, man. I'm getting up there. 1985, man. I'm 38 years old.
38. Okay, so yeah, I was born 95. I'm 29.
Okay.
So we prob me and you were probably the last generation of kids to stay outside till dark. And
Yeah, man.
no, there were no phones, no computers. I didn't have a computer till I was like till I was like 12 or 13, because that's when they started coming out, like laptops and
It's funny. I was just talking with my wife about that not too long ago, and talking about how we were the last generation of people that actually don't. I'm not gonna say that we were just completely independent, but we were less surveillance, so to speak, growing up. We could still go out. When I think about things that I did as a kid, man, nowadays it's just not safe or acceptable. I remember just running around my neighborhood from the crack of dawn till sunset. Parents didn't have to check on us. We didn't worry about it. We went wherever we wanted to, play baseball all day, or do whatever kids do. We didn't have a cell phone. We had a curfew. We had to be home for this time. And other than that, we were free to kind of do that. And I'm kind of mixed on it, because the world in its own way has gotten dangerous to where, people can't necessarily do that anymore. And I agree with that. But also, I think it's important for a kid to have that kind of freedom as well, to be able to explore their self and figure out who they are. It seems like with the generation, a lot of folks, as time went on, you see kids who are very, very sharp on social media, but they don't really know how to interact with you on one-on-one conversations. You know, they've lost the ability to socialize, you know. So, I mean, it's all on how you look at it, I suppose. But I guess there's good and bad in both avenues, you know.
I mean, even with this generation, I see a lot of kids, and I don't know if you see it, but I see a lot of kids go missing.
I do. I do. You can't walk into a grocery store without seeing missing posters everywhere. You know, it's really sad. It's really sad, some of the things that's happened in our world. I would like to see, you know, I would like to see things turn around for the more positive in that aspect. But yes, absolutely. I do agree with what you're saying on that. People are turning up missing and just hearing of crimes that you've just never heard of before in humanity. It's just, it's a sad time at times, you know?
Yeah. I mean, even I remember growing up, my mom always told me, don't go up to another, to a stranger's car. If you know them, you know, like it's a neighbor or whatever, you can go up, but don't go up to a stranger's car.
Yeah.
And my mom always told me, if you go up there, you'll never see me again. And that instilled fear in me. And I feel like a lot of kids, they don't want to instill fear. They want them to be, I feel like most parents want to be that, want them to be respectful, but they don't want to instill fear in these kids. Because a lot of younger kids do have bad attitudes. And I discovered them in my development a lot. They always I got flipped off by a 10-year-old like a year ago. Turned the road and I beat my horn just to get them out of the way, and they flipped me off. I'm like, really?
Yeah. It seems like what do you say to that? You know, I mean, you would naturally want to say, you know, maybe the kid needs a little discipline, but I mean, wow. I mean, a 10-year-old flipping you off. I mean, that's, it's happening. It's happening, brother. But welcome to 2024, man.
I think in a couple years, though, like once the when the pandemic hit, I think everybody just went crazy. And that's probably took a toll on a lot of kids.
You know, I think it took a toll on everybody, man. Like when the pandemic hit, you know, even in music, you know, I had to learn new ways to promote myself because we didn't have live shows. You know, so we had to start taking the social media. We released the album Both Sides of the Tracks, and we just started really pushing, you know, like using, you know, social media and different avenues digitally to promote, doing everything from live shows, you know, like live Zoom links and all that stuff, which I wasn't really a fan of. I missed the live entertainment. But yeah, I think the pandemic really took a toll on everybody involved, man. I mean, I know it took a toll on us. We had to get creative.
You know, same thing with podcasting. Like, I didn't even know what Zoom was until I heard it off of a radio show. They're like, yeah, we're using Zoom. And I looked into it and I was like, I could do podcasts that way now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in that sense, man, it really was a game changer, especially during the pandemic, to kind of, we all could communicate without communicating, you know, I mean, like without having to physically communicate. So, I mean, that was a positive thing. You know, I guess I'm a little old school in the sense that I really miss live shows and live performance, because that's how you really engage with people and the emotions of the show and the fire and all that. But, you know, if we didn't have Zoom and all these things, we wouldn't have been able to, we would have been a hell of a lot more secluded, which we don't want to do.
How long have you been doing music?
Man, I've been doing music my whole life. You know, my dad was a guitar player. I say my whole life, but really I started around 11 or 12, learning how to play a guitar. And from there, you know, took private lessons, started sneaking into bars at 15. Now, once again, times have changed, man. I grew a beard at 15 and I was playing on stage, man. But, you know, from there, you know, just going from, you know, it's interesting to see how times have changed in music from when I started. And I'm really not that old, but just to see how quickly things have changed. You know, when I remember when I first got started, you know, I was playing in old smoky bars, playing blues with and rock bands and stuff, you know, and playing country music in the old honky tonks. And to see where music has went from there to here, you know, I think when I was a kid, we were listening to, you know, Travis Tritt, Garth Brooks, George Strait. Now we got Post Malone and all these different people coming out in country music. You know, it's like, you know, times have been definitely changed, and to keep that going. You know, we fuse different musics in what we're doing, but we try to stay true to the heart of whatever we're doing. You know, we may fuse rock and country and blues and different things, but we still try to keep our stories intact and keep, you know, the heartbeat of the real music alive, you know.
Yeah. Are you a Toby Keith fan?
I am, man. I was really sad to hear about his passing and the way he died. You know, like Toby Keith was a part of my childhood, man. The first song I'd ever heard was Should Have Been a Cowboy, you know, which was when we were doing a lot of cover shows, you know, coming up. That was a staple in our set list. You know, we always Should Have Been a Cowboy, you know. And to hear that he passed of stomach cancer that way, you know, he fought the good fight, but it's still sad to see him go, man.
My uncle used to work with him. My uncle was a light rigger, so he would always, you know, be at the concerts. And actually got his guitar pick right here. Yeah, right there.
Wow. Man, hold on to that. Hold on to that. That's special, man.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of country, but I've always listened to Toby Keith and liked him versus the old guys that my mom would listen to. She would listen to Waylon Jennings, Charlie Daniels.
Yeah.
Willie Nelson.
You know, that's kind of what we try to do with my music is we try to I grew up loving all those artists, you know, Waylon Jennings, Johnny Cash, Charlie Daniels, going farther back, even Doc Watson. I like Marty Stewart. I liked, you know, Chet Atkins and all these people. But also I listened to, you know, growing up in the 90s, I listened to a lot of grunge. I listened to, you know, anything from Nirvana to 311, you know, and Sublime and all these different aspects. And then becoming a songwriter, my goal was always to try to like, look, we keep the traditional country alive, but we also put our own twist on it and modernize it as well, because we want to get it out not just to people of the older generation, which is very important, but we want to reach a new generation with the music too. You know, we want to show people that, hey man, you know, like country music can modernize in a good way, you know, and that's kind of what we're trying to do, you know, with ours, especially with the new single Ready to Ride, you know.
And country music it's not bad. Like a lot of people will put country music down and saying how bad it is. And I used to be one of these guys, but once I expanded my music search, when it just came, because I was a big Metallica fan growing up.
Oh yeah.
I started listening to more country, more of the modern guys today. And it's actually not bad. Some of the music is pretty good. I mean,
a lot of them are taking influences from people like Metallica. I believe I saw some interview with Jason Aldean where he was talking about bringing heavier guitars and trying to bring more of a rock metal approach. A couple of years back, he was talking about doing that, you know. So, I mean, it's just an example of how music influences, man, whether it's red dirt country or whether it's modern pop country or whether it's classic country, you know, finding a way for it all to coexist. And relating, trying to be as relatable as possible is where it's at. You know what I mean?
Speaking of Jason Aldean, what did you think of Small Town?
Try that in a small town. You know, a lot of people were against it. They thought that it was offensive. But I'm going to be honest with you on my opinion. I actually supported the song. You know, I'm not going to say I wasn't the biggest fan. I thought the song sounded, musically speaking, like everything else coming out. I didn't think that it was a song that really jumped off the page of me in terms of composition, musical composition. But I did feel like a lot of people got behind the song, because I feel like there's a lot of people out there that it shouldn't be one-sided in this country in the sense. I feel like a lot of people feel like one side has an opinion and the other side doesn't. But this is America and everyone has an opinion in America. You know, I believe that he's entitled to go out and say, try that in a small town. Because I'll be honest, I grew up in a small town myself. I started out in Baker, Louisiana, and then I moved to Walker, Louisiana. And there's a fair amount of truth in the lyrical content there. You know, the stuff that flies in the city, it won't fly out here. You know, a lot of people are not going to put up with it. You know, you come out here and you start trying to do these riots and protests, spitting on cops and all that. I'm going to be honest, you might get your ass knocked in the face. You know, that's just the way it is around here. And I'm not saying I'm a supporter of violence of any way. You know, I'm not. But I do respect Jason's opinion on that song and the songwriter who wrote it. Because, you know, there has to be a question of when is too much too much. And that's the same with the AI discussion, because look, we have to have order. We have to have police officers. We have to have these things. And one of the things he was really talking about in that song was, you know, slapping an old lady or something on the street. I don't have the lyrics in front of me, but you know, a lot of the things that have been going on, you know, we don't need to lose our way, you know, because we need to understand that we're all in this together. And I agree with a lot of what Jason was saying in that song. But as an individual artist, I believe that our goal as musicians and artists needs to be unity. It doesn't matter if you're what they would call far left or far right. We need to get the far out of there, and the right and left need to come together for the greater good. We need right. to start realizing that you're not defined by your political affiliation. You're defined by who you are as a man or a woman, you know, who you are as a human being. And I my personal belief as an artist is that I agree with what Jason was saying in a lot of that song, but I also believe that we need to be practicing unity in our art more than we practice division. We need to bring both sides together, because at the end of the day, we're all people, and we're all brothers and sisters, man. We need to come together, because the only way this country will fix itself is through unity, not through division. That's my opinion.
No, I mean, I agree with you 100%. I mean, the song is great. I didn't think there was any problem with it because, so I told you I work on a radio station, and one of the shows that I do, I work for a talk station. I do a 2-hour Republican show every Wednesday.
Yeah.
They're very far right, and they have wild theories, and I agree with both sides. I'm the middle man, but
yeah.
When they played Small Town, they were like saying all these like weird things. I'm like, guys, I'm like, he's talking like he's actually saying like what's on his mind. He's telling the truth. Like this isn't going to die in a small town. And they're like, oh no, he was just saying this. I'm like, I didn't want to hear it. But the last time everybody came together was probably around 2001 when 9/11 happened. I mean, I was 6 years old, but that's when everybody came together. And it sucks that we had to have a tragic event like that happen in order for America to come together again. Because that's really all what it breaks down to. We have to have something bad happen to where we all come together.
Well, you know, TJ, I agree 100%. You know, like, because look, you know, I never really bring my political affiliation into my art, because like I said, I want my art to be universal. I want a man who voted for Donald Trump to like me just as much as I want a man who voted for Joe Biden, or a woman, vice versa. You know, I don't believe that my songs and my art should be aimed at one group. I have my own personal beliefs, but I leave that out. And the reason why is because I believe that, like I said, my goal in music is unity. I want music to help people, not to hurt. And I don't want my music to fuel into anger. I want it to fuel into healing, you know, and that's something that I firmly believe in. You know, I may disagree with someone on their political beliefs, but at the end of the day, I still believe that we're all in this together, you know, and though we may have differences of opinion, we still need to respect one another, you know. And that's one thing that I've seen in this country that is really struggling, is that people have lost their, they've lost their, not everyone, but a lot of people have lost the mentality of respecting one another. You know, I believe that if we respect one another, a lot of these differences are going to get fixed. They're going to get fixed, you know, but we can't just go on disrespecting men, women, and everyone. You know, we have to bring it together, and musically speaking, that's what I want my music to do. You know, even if it's a song about rolling down the window and partying like Ready to Ride, you know, I still want people of all cultures to like it and to support that, and to know that, you know, the song is for everyone. It's not just for one individual or one race or one style. You know, it's for everyone. You know,
that's what James Hetfield said. I went to Metallica in 2017, and he said before the concert, he was like, look, I don't care whether you're black, white, red, whatever, Democrat or Republican. He was like, we're just here to have a good time. He was like, nope. He was like, I don't want to see any fights. I want to see just a mosh pit down there, and that's it.
Hey man, hats off to Hetfield on that, because that's my philosophy too, man. I just want people to have a good time. When they come out to a Will Wesley show, I want them to party, I want them to have a good time, and I want them to like the music, you know, because I write the music partly for myself and the therapeutic aspects, but I also write it for the people, man. And that's what I'm all about, is songs for the people.
Yeah. What's the biggest crowd you ever performed at?
Whew, man, we've played some pretty big shows in Europe, you know, thousands of people, you know, like we had about 7 sold out shows last year in Switzerland. It was really cool, man. Just thousands of people just singing your songs is awesome. We've had some really nice crowds here in America as well. We opened up for Alabama in Natchez, Mississippi, and that was a really great crowd. Like they really were energetic, and it was a great crowd that day. You know, I would have to say it's in the thousands. I haven't gotten to the 250,000 mark yet, but I'm in the thousands.
Did you ever get like afraid when you first saw that like large group of people? Because 1,000 is still a lot of people. I mean,
Yeah. And I'm sure it's different for every artist, man. But with me, it's harder to play in front of like 2 or 3 people than it is to play in front of thousands. You know, it just seems like when you're in front of thousands, it's just a big mosh of people. But when you got people, 2 or 3, just looking directly at you, that's when my nerves are at their worst. But I mean, of course, you get nervous before taking the stage before a big, big crowd. But I notice that my nerves settle pretty quick there. But if it's like 2 or 3 people, if I'm playing for just you, man, I'm gonna get nervous.
kind of like the same thing like with radio, like you're talking to probably 100,000 or 1,000 people, like you know what I mean, like you're not, and one or two people in the crowd or the audience listening, they're not going to like you, but two-thirds of that will like you, one-third won't and two-thirds will,
Yeah, that's right.
and that's how people get through it, I feel like, when it comes to playing, you know, in larger crowds, you
Yeah,
know.
you know, like some people, you're not going to be for everyone, but it's the people that dig you that you want to carry along the journey with you.
Yeah, I remember you told you we were talking before. You told the story about you guys getting robbed.
Yeah.
So what happened with that, and where was that at?
Well, man, you know, coming up the way I come up, you know, playing in like smoky bars and traveling around, there are a lot of stories to tell, man. You see some crazy stuff. And, you know, one of the stories that sticks out to me is a couple of years back, I was music director for a blues musician named Grady Champion. And we had went up to St. Louis to play the St. Louis Blues Museum. We were doing a live kind of televised performance there. And I remember it was just a wonderful show, wonderful reception. Everything went great. And we got to our hotel that night. And when we woke up to come home the next morning, everything in our tour van was gone. Someone had broke the lock, stole everything from my Gibson SGs to my Gibson Les Pauls, even took my guitar picks. They stole everything, man. And we lost it all. Drums, keyboards, bass, horns, we lost everything. And that was one of a few low points being in music that I've noticed really messed with me, man. You know, another one was we were down in Meridian, Mississippi. True story. I'm not gonna go into the whole story, but I was performing in a place called the Echo Lounge. It was on C Street, Meridian, Mississippi. And we had come in and I was setting up, and buddy, I'm telling you, a gunfight just starts in the parking lot and a bullet goes right past my ear.
Oh,
And I
wow.
hit the ground and I go in shock, man. So I gotta tell you, if you're a musician out there and you're still on that level of touring like I was a couple of years back, take care of yourself out there. Things can get real, real bad, real quick.
Oh, no, trust me. I know. I mean, I never had a gun, a gun bullet go past me, but
It's a very distinctive sound.
I've gotten a gun pulled on me before at the age of 18 over $3.
Oh, over $3.
So I worked in a parking garage, and my dad was the manager, and I had a badge to get myself in and out. This guy comes up, and he's like beeping his horn. I'm like, "You got to come over here, pay the ticket." And I walk over to him. He was like, "Well, how much is it going to be?" And I checked the time, estimated like that my time. I was like, "It's probably going to be about $3." He's like, "Three?" I said, "Yeah." And he pointed the gun at me, and he told me I better let him out. He's going to shoot me.
Oh my God.
out. I said, all right, buddy, bye.
Hey, buddy, no problems, no arguments, huh? That's a hell of a story, man. I'm sorry that happened to you.
It was scary. I mean, it took me a little bit to get over it because, like, I'm
– Oh, yeah.
When you're 18, you don't know what can go through your head. Like,
no, you're not used to a gun being pulled out on you for $3, man. No, that'd definitely mess with your head.
Yeah, I mean, I've had another – it's not a gun story, but it's a similar story where, like, we had a bomb threat in our school. And I remember it was in study hall. It was senior year. I was taking a nap. I woke up, and I swear to God, I was like Dawn of the Dead. There was nobody around.
Oh, man.
And I'm walking around, and I'm like, where did everybody go? I walk downstairs, and I see a group of kids leaving. And my teacher's like, oh, my God, I found you. I'm like, what's going on? She was like, there's a bomb. I'm like –
Oh, wow.
Billy, like, look, I won't tell if you won't tell. I'm like, dude, I'm graduating in 2 months. I don't care.
To all the kids out there, don't sleep in class. There might be a bomb go off.
Yeah, we had a bunch of them growing up, but we would always walk to a church. But kids have it worse nowadays in school, I feel like.
Oh, yeah, man. It's we definitely live in some rough times, man. We really do. You know, and all I can hope is that it gets better and that, you know, people keep listening to music. Don't let AI take the music, man. It's really me here. I'm really talking to you.
Yeah, that's the one thing that everyone's going to have to, like, learn, like, what's AI and what's not.
Yeah. What's really am I really talking to TJ right now, or is this an AI-generated voice?
It's the same thing with, like, video games. I always wonder, am I really talking to somebody? Because, like, I play a lot of Fortnite and Call of Duty.
Oh, yeah.
You could talk to whoever on there, like, anybody from throughout the world. And, like, it really makes you think now, like, who am I really talking to?
I know, man. I know. It's definitely a – it's kind of a puzzling question, man. It really is, you know, like – To know what you're talking to know the difference, you know, I think it's beyond my perception. I don't know if I could do it, man.
Hey, who knows? I mean, but you're also, I also like the point you made how music did evolve, though.
Yeah.
Even from, you know, your era to now, and I think music will evolve even better. I mean, in 2030, I mean, we're only 5 years away, but.
I know, man, and I think that it's I think it's gonna. I'm in agreement with you. I think it's definitely gonna evolve. It's gonna get better, you know, because you got a lot of great artists out there, man. You know, they may not be getting the recognition they have yet, but they're out there, you know, and real music is alive and well.
Yeah, no, I do appreciate music a lot. Like, if you listen, whenever you're like playing and you're listening to the lyrics, they can speak to you, and it does show that a lot of people, if you look deeper into their lyrics, like, it does show people have, like, you know, meaning what they're singing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what, to me, music's all about is the song, man. You know, it's about the honesty of it, you know, and the truth that you're talking about, you know, or whatever subject you choose, you know. But that's what makes music great to me, is listening to what these people are saying and what they're experiencing, man. To me as a whole, that's what makes music tick for me, man.
Yeah. And you said you've been doing it since 12 or 13. Now,
yeah.
Did your dad, well, your dad was a guitar player, so he had to have supported it.
He did. You know, like, there was definitely, there were times, you know, where I'm sure he was concerned that I decided to do music for a full-time living, you know. But, you know, I have to credit his faith in me doing that as a main reason why I stuck with it and kept doing it, you know, having that support system. So, you know, yeah, so as early as I can remember, I remember being in music, but also having that support system to help me keep going in music, you know. So, yeah, I'd have to say my dad is a big part of what kept me going all these years in it.
He was a full-time guitar player too, right?
He wasn't a full-time guitar player, but he definitely was playing in bands and stuff as a young man, when I was a young man. And then when he, you know, when he started having a family, he got more out of it to raise his family. But he always loved it and kept music in the house and things like that. So that's what kept me, that's what kept my education going and kept me involved in it, you know.
Did you have anybody in your family that told you that you were never going to make it?
Not in my family, you know. my family always believed in me. You know, my brother worked for us before he passed, and you know, but there were people in the town that would, you know, say that and didn't always believe in me, you know, but that you're going to get that anywhere you go. You know, you just got to shrug that off and keep believing in your dream and doing it, whether you make it or not, because that's what you love to do. Right.
Yeah. That's kind of like with me with radio. I was always told I was never going to make it, and now I'm in it, but I'm at the point where, like, I gotta step up my game more. I gotta be more involved and, you know, get my name out there so I can go to a different state, because I want to get out of PA. We talked earlier about how cold it is. I want to go to like Texas or something. And
hey man, if you're in Louisiana, I'll show you what New Orleans is like. Man, you might fall in love with it down there.
There are so many places I want to go to. Like we were going to go to Texas this year. I think we were still going to pull it off, but. Like, I want to go all down south just to see what it's all about.
Yeah, man. It's, you know, the South has some charming things to it, man. I would encourage you. Yeah, man. Get your wife, get your friends, come down to the South, man. You definitely can find a hell of a party.
Now, is it warm all year round or no?
Oh, we have a cold season, you know, but it's not as cold as it is where you're at. You know, we've had winters in the 20s. Teens, it gets low sometimes, but we definitely have some really warm seasons, you know, like spring. You know, our spring and summers here are, you know, very warm, very warm. So you can get up to the 100 degree mark and things like that. So you definitely bring some shorts, especially right now. It's starting to warm up.
It's like, so here it's cold in the morning, then it gets warm in the afternoon, and then 6 o'clock, that's when it starts like to get cold. But I mean, once April, like the middle of April, that's when things are going to start, you know, whether it's going to get warmer, we're going to have more, you know, bugs out. And yeah, that's one thing I'm ready for. I just want the warmer weather.
Yeah, I'm kind of embracing it myself over here. You know, we're gearing up to tour in Switzerland in June. So we know it's going to be warmer in Switzerland when we go, but man, it gets really cold over there on some of the winters. So we're kind of taking in the sunshine right now.
Do you like flying over, like flying a lot? Because it seems like you do a lot of some overseas stuff too.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I first started flying, I was terrified of it. I don't like being in the air, but I've gotten used to it over the years. And, you know, it's where I love going to see different cultures and playing for different people. So, you know, I kind of sacrificed my fear of flying to do that. You know, now that I'm over it, you know, like, yeah, I love going all over. You know, we're going to be going to Southeast Asia later this year, going to Thailand and, you know, going to Europe and things like that. And I just love bringing the music to people. So it's definitely a joy of my life.
Now, the people in Europe and Switzerland, which you're going to, do they like the music that they hear?
They do. They have a great appreciation for music in Europe, man. Like a lot of what they listen to, they're very appreciative in the sense of they won't interrupt you while you're playing. You know, like they're very quiet. They're very respectful. It's a little intimidating at first, but then when you end your song, you hear nothing but a wave of applause and roar, you know, and that's just their way of appreciating music. Now, Thailand kind of reminded me of New Orleans in a lot of ways. They're down the rock and roll, dance and party, and I love that too. So it's different in different places, but it's definitely something that I enjoy in both respects.
It's interesting just to see like how different countries react to music.
Yeah.
And the you know, party, like you would never think that, like a kid like me who I didn't know anything about music, you would never think that they like to do that type of stuff. But
no, yeah. No, they do, man. Like they do. Like I said, you know, Europe has a sophistication about it that I really, really appreciate. But Thailand, that was nothing but a party, man. We just partied. We rocked and partied, man. That's what it was all about over there.
Yeah, no, that sounds fun. I've never been overseas. I think my wife said before we have kids, she wants to go on one big trip. And I'm like, where do you want to go? No, we got to get our passport.
Oh, I would encourage y'all to do it, man. Go see that great big world out there.
Where would you recommend going for you know, your first time across seas?
Well, I've always wanted to go to Italy. We have talks of maybe going there, but in the places I've been, you know what, man? How about Japan? Why don't y'all go check out Japan? They got a very rich culture over there, man.
I would love to go to Japan. That's like a 20-hour plane ride, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, I know Thailand is about somewhere around 2022, I think, when we were flying there. So you're definitely in that bracket. It's about a 20-hour flight, but it's really cool, though, man. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, if I have a fear of flying, I've always had a fear of flying. But I mean, I'll still go on planes. That's just who I am.
Yeah.
I have to get over the fear. I mean, taking off is fine. Being up in the air is fine. But when the turbulence.
Yeah, that's what gets me. I don't like turbulence, you know. And, you know, you do it a few times, you'll get used to it. I was the same way, man. I was nervous and possibly needing a shot of Jack Daniels to get through that flight. But I got over it, you know, and I can do it now.
Have you ever taken a red eye before?
No, I haven't. I haven't, but I've heard a lot of people who have.
It's brutal, man. So we were coming home from California. We left at, I think it was like 6 o'clock at night there. We weren't landing until, you know, early morning here in Pennsylvania time. And I had 3 screwdrivers and a shot of something. It didn't put me to sleep. It just made me more wasted on the plane. And plus there was a mom, a dad, and the kid. And the mom was in the middle, and the dad was on the end holding his kid. And every time the mom would get up, and I kid you not, she got up like 6 times. And of course, like, the kid would scream and cry. And it got to the point where I'm like, can you guys switch? Because, like, I understand the bathroom every 5 minutes, but, like, we're all trying to sleep.
Yeah, man, that's rough. Yeah, thanks for telling me that. I'll avoid the red eye completely, man.
I mean, I'm sure other people take red eyes and they could sleep on the planes, but me, I couldn't sleep at all. I tried everything in my power.
I'm the same way. I cannot sleep well on planes, man. Any little bump, I'm awake. I'm a light sleeper.
I think with me, with the turbulence, it's just I'm a backseat driver. That's just all.
Makes sense. It makes sense, man, because you can't control the plane. So it's like you're having to sleep and, ugh, yeah. I'm not the biggest fan of it.
Yeah, I mean, I do want to do a helicopter ride, and I would do skydiving. I mean, just to say I did it, you know?
Yeah, dude. I'd do it too, man. I don't know if I'd survive it, but I'd do it.
Have you ever done any, like, stunts? Like, crazy stunts before or no?
I got to say no on that one. I've never done any, like stunt work or any kind of crazy stuff like that. I usually try to keep the boots on the ground.
Yeah, I've never done any of that either. I think the only stunt work I did was getting tackled on the ground for a movie I did. And it was an internet movie. It was called Trolled, and never saw anything about it. But I do remember getting paid $60 just to get thrown on a hardwood floor. And hey, I'm thinking, man. What was that?
Oh, no, I just said, hey, that's cool, man. You got paid and you got to do some acting, so that's awesome.
Yeah, I actually enjoy that. I mean, I enjoy the aspect of acting, but the one thing I hate, you're there from 6 in the morning to 11 at night.
Yeah.
And you're to be called.
Man, people don't realize what all goes into acting. You know, you have to reshoot scenes. You have to do this. You know, even on our music videos, it takes a lot of time to perfect these scenes. So no, I can totally relate to you there, man. It takes time, man.
How long generally does it take for you guys to film a music video?
We normally can cut one if we're really vigilant and moving on in about 4 or 5 hours, but then it has to go into the editing room. It depends on how many locations we got to be, how many fans or how many friends or supporters we're dealing with. So it depends on the video, but we cut our last single, Honky Tonk USA, that's coming out soon. We cut that video in about 4 hours. Our director, Jordan Fontenot, did a great job. And I think if we really stay on it, we can get in about 4 or 5 hours.
And how long is that in, like 2?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say about it depends on how many edits he has to do. But it can range anywhere from 2 to 3 days, or it could go weeks, depending on what all he's editing, you know.
That's how you, so I used to do a lot of video for YouTube. I filmed this short series about loosely based on COVID, but it was basically like the end of the world where I was the last man on Earth.
Oh, wow.
And that took about 3 hours of editing and
I can imagine
a few hours of filming just because it's myself, but I had to get all these angles and come up with a story. And my buddy and I used to do ghost hunting videos, and even that's like editing because you got to hear like what's going on and make sure like, is that noise or is that something else? Because we're really big into ghosts and stuff.
Oh yeah, man. I love that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's in the editing, I could see where that would get up there 3, 4, 5 hours now.
Have you ever had any experiences?
Ghostly experiences?
Yeah.
Actually, I have. As crazy as that sounds, I've had several in my life that seem kind of, can't prove it, but I'm going to go way down the line here and tell you about a song that's written. I was driving through Arkansas one night. I was kind of going through a separation and some personal things that were really affecting me. And I just decided to book a couple of gigs. This is when I was way younger. And I decided to book some gigs in Arkansas just to get out of Louisiana a while. And I was driving one night, to shorten up the story. And I literally, there was a freakish snowstorm coming in to Arkansas. And that's very rare for Arkansas. And I was by myself, and I'd finished my gig up. And to talk about how long ago this was, I did not have GPS. And I was talking to a guy about how to get to the interstate. And on this interstate, I saw a girl, which, to be honest with you, man, I thought was very strange because it was beginning to sleet and snow. It was cold. And I remember she didn't have a jacket on. And I was like, wow, you know, I'm not normally one who would pick up a hitchhiker, but this really seems like a bad situation for her. I don't see anything on any side of the road for a while. And I picked up this girl. And in the song that I've written a song about this coming out, you know, down the line. It's not released yet on this album, but you know, in the song I called the girl Angie. And what ends up happening is the girl gets in the car and she's totally normal. We start talking about, I ask her, why didn't you have a jacket on? What are you doing out here? And she said she had a fight with her boyfriend and that she was walking down the road. And I was the first vehicle she had seen. I said, well, I'm trying to get back to Louisiana. Where exactly are you going? And she said she had a home right up the road. And as we were driving down the road, I noticed she was talking some things that I thought was quite weird in terms of the history of it. She had a Rolling Stones shirt on. And I was like, oh, the Rolling Stones, you like them, huh? And she was like, yeah, I hear that they're actually going to start touring America soon.
Oh.
And I went, really? I was like, you don't really keep up with music much, do you? And she was like, what do you mean? And I was like, well, the Rolling Stones have been touring America for decades. I mean, they're, yeah. But, yeah. And she was like, oh, well, okay. And she just kind of looked at me like I was strange, you know? And I was like, oh. So she started to kind of fall asleep at some point, and I wake her up, and I'm like, look, Angie, I don't know where you live. Where are we going? I'm trying to get to a gas station, for Christ's sake. It's like, oh, well, look, it's right up the road here. Actually, you're coming up on it. Take a left. And as I took a left, this is a true story, man. I ended up going down this old road. It looked like there were the branches in the road and all this. And we pulled up to this old abandoned, it looked like it was a gas station or something. And she was like, that's where I live. And I went, There's no lights on in this place. It's completely abandoned. The windows are broken out. What do you mean you live there? And I am not lying. She gets up, walks out of the truck, opens the door to this abandoned old brick looking building, walks in, And I'm freaked out. I literally turn off my truck, walk out in the snow here, this bad storm, open the door and start hollering like Angie. Never heard another word from her, and she never came out.
Holy shit.
That is a
Oh,
true story.
that made my eyes water a little bit.
Man, I'm telling you, that is a true story. And I actually wrote the song about it. I did. I wrote a song about it. And it's going to be coming out in a couple of, probably a couple of years, because it's so far down the line. But it's a true story. It's a
That's
true story, man.
and a lot so a lot of people in the spirit world or in like in the, yeah, a lot of people in the spirit world who study paranormal, they go by events where they were they're being replayed, their spirit is being replayed. So basically you picked her up at the highway, dropped
Yeah.
her off at an abandoned gas station. Somebody else could have probably picked her up the same time, drove her, and she was probably born in the maybe 40s or 50s, and she's a big Rolling Stones fan, and now she's hearing, oh yeah, the Stones are coming to America now to tour. Did you hear about that? Like,
Yeah. Look, man, here's what's really creepy about it. I was so afraid after that. What you never hear in a ghost story is what you do in the aftermath. I jumped in my truck. I got out of there in those years terrified, and finally got to a gas station. And I can even tell you what really will scare you about it is this was on Highway 365 in Arkansas. Years later, once I got internet and started researching it, not very long ago, right before I started writing the song Midnight in the Pines, that's the name of the song. I actually researched it and found that there are documents of people talking about the hitchhiker of 365. This is documented to the point of, if I just, while we're on this podcast, I'm quickly typing this in right now, and I'm pulling it up. And that's the first thing right here you can see. I don't know if you can read that.
Oh yeah, I see it.
Man, it's
Wow.
a true thing. Like, they've had people document this. Well, I'm here on your radio, on this podcast, to tell you it happened to Will Wesley, and it scared the bejesus out of me. Like, it was not a normal situation.
No.
Yeah. That I don't want to conclude our little podcast with that notion, but I guess we'll just end it on a scary note.
I mean, no, I've had similar experiences. I've heard people with experience. So one experience I had, my uncle passed away in 2008, and I remember I was sleeping in the back room of my summer house up in the Poconos, and my uncle was sleeping on the couch.
Yeah.
My uncle said he had a dream where my uncle Jimmy, we'll just call him Jimmy, he saw our dead relative walk from his room to the room that I was sleeping in.
Oh, wow.
Same night, I had a dream that my dead relative was watching me sleep.
Wow.
I had a connecting dream.
That is amazing that a connecting dream. Now, I've never had that. That's amazing, man.
And it was so weird because, like, I was still sleeping when my uncle told that story to my parents. And then I come out and I tell my parents about an hour or two later, hey, I had a weird dream. Like, where Uncle Paul came in the room and was watching us. She was like, really? She was like, that's weird. So we had my uncle Jim and I have like a really like weird bond, but it was just a connecting dream that we had. It was crazy.
Man, that's amazing. That's creepy, but amazing. Wow, I've never had a connecting dream that I know of.
And it was the first time in a long time. I
Yeah.
hope again, but so, Ready to Ride, what is that about?
Ready to Ride is just a let your hair down country rocker, man. It's got a real rock grit. A lot of people have said it's got like an 80s rock vibe to it. But it's also got a modern country aspect too, kind of meshing those styles, man. We dedicated it to the memory of my manager who passed, Brian Abrams, and his wife, Yulia Abrams. And it's a song really about just letting the windows down and enjoying yourself, and just rocking out and leaving town, man. Just flying down that highway.
I like that. Do you mind if we play it at the end of the show? Like, I'll put it in post.
Absolutely not, man. Please do. Please play it for everyone. I would love everyone to hear it. And you know, you can check me out at willwestonmusic.com and write some comments, man. Let's hear the feedback. I hope everyone enjoys it.
Definitely. And where else can we find you?
Man, you can find me everywhere. You can find me on YouTube. I got a lot of music videos out. And you can just type in Will Wesley. And we even have something called the Let It All Burn trilogy. It's Let It All Burn, Leah, and Attitude. It's a trilogy of videos that follow each other. And it's got an interesting twist to it. But we also got tons of others. We released a Christmas music video last year. And we also got Paint This County. We got a lot of different music videos, even some older stuff like The Hardest of Hearts. So you can find me just Will Wesley on YouTube and also on any of your favorite online digital outlets. We're from Spotify, Apple, down the line, man. You can find us there. And also willwesleymusic.com at Will Wesley Music. I definitely like to connect with your audience and everybody kind of follow me along.
Yeah, definitely. And then, you know, whenever you post another single or whatever, I'll definitely have you back on.
Please do, man. Let's continue it further, man. I appreciate you having me on the show today.
Definitely. Well, thank you again for coming on.
That's right, man. I hope to reconnect on the next thing.
Definitely. All right. We're going to play his music, Ready to Ride, exclusively on TJTV.
What a really great song. That's such a kick-ass song, man. Thank you so much again, Will. It's a great interview. I really enjoyed it. Man, I love interviews like that. I really do. We covered a lot of topics today. Really fun interview. All right, well, that's going to do it for today's show. Love you all to death. Hope you guys enjoy the next couple days. I'm probably going to do maybe one or two more episodes before the end of the week. And then it's going to be Easter, and then we'll be in April. That means spring's right around the corner. All right, that's it, everybody. See you. Love you all to death. Goodbye, everybody.
Remember when you ran away and I got on my knees and begged you not to leave because I go berserk? Well, you left me anyhow, and then the days got worse and worse, and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, they're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha, to the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away.